Okay, boys. So today's daf is daf Chav Dalid. We're holding the final line of Chav Gimel Amid Beis, where the Gemara asks a stira, Reb Meir on Reb Meir and the Rabbanan on the Rabbanan. So to understand the stira, we have to remember what we learned yesterday. So to do a very quick review, starting from the middle of Chav Gimel Amid Beis, where the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah Uvadjei Hakesef Mishel Acher. You recall that back on daf Chav Beis Amid Beis, when we spoke about an Eved Kanani, the Eved Kanani wants to be Kone Es Atzma, meaning to become free. Our Mishnah said there are two ways, with Kesef and with Shtar, and the focus of today's Gemara at this point is on the Kesef, where according to Reb Meir, the Kesef is Al Yedei Acherim, and according to Chachamim, the Kesef is Al Yedei Atzma. So according to Reb Meir, if someone wants to buy his freedom, an Eved Kanani wants to buy his freedom, he cannot do it himself. He's got to do it al yedei acherim. According to Chachamim, no, he can go and supply the money himself. What is the basis of the machloikis? So getting back to our Gemara of Chav Gimel Amud Beis, the Gemara explained it yesterday three ways. The first pshat the Gemara said is, Neim v'hokim iflegi, the meis over ein kidin ebed b'lei rabbi, v'ein kidin isha b'lei baal. There's no such thing as an ebed owning property on his own. Anything that he owns automatically belongs to his rabbi. At the same time, as soon as he receives it, instantaneously it belongs to his rabbi. Same thing for Nisha. Rabbanan Sabri, Yesh can the Eved b'lei rabbi? No, he could have his own kin. Yesh can Nisha b'lei bala. It's taka true that an Eved belongs to his rabbi, but that doesn't mean that automatically everything that he owns belongs to the rabbi. He can have his own independent ownership as well. So therefore, that's the machlokes in the Mishnah when it says that Kesef ayyidei achirim, according to Rameir, because if he owns any kesef, then it automatically belongs to his rabbi. So therefore, he's not giving the rabbi new kesef to free himself. Whatever kesef you received today, yesterday, last year, 12 years ago, whenever he got it, doesn't belong to him, it belongs to his rabbi. If you want to give new kesef for freedom, you have to have a achirim. And the Chum say, no. He could independently own some of his own kesef, takes out the money, and he says, rabbi, here, I'm giving you money, I want to become free.
It contradicts one another. But by one hand, everything that belongs to the Eved belongs to his owner, and then they're saying, no, you can own a food, you can own something. And
very good. So that was the first pshat in the Gemara, and Rabbi Omer of Sheikhs immediately rejects that along the lines that you are suggesting. Rabbi Omer of Sheikhs, no, the Kuli Alma, ain't kinyanly Eved b'lei rabbi, then kinyanly isha b'lei baal. It's not true. Whatever the Eved owns automatically belongs to Rabbi according to everybody. Well, according to everybody, so how does it say in the Mishnah that according to the Chachamim, Kesef al Yedei Atzmai, that all he has to do is give his own money? You just said now everybody agrees that his own money doesn't belong to him. It belongs to Rabbi, which is what Daniel was asking. Every Gemara, no, Hachem Ayeskinen, the Akni Le Acher Mana, the Omalei Almanas She'ein L'Rabach Rishus Bay. When someone gave him a matana, he said to him, I'm giving it to you, but only on the condition that your rabbi does not own it. I give you the condition that only belongs to you, not to, you cannot fulfill that condition, give the money back. Only if you can fulfill that condition, it belongs to you and not to your rabbi. Well, does that condition work? Remei Sabaki Omalei Kni, when he says to the Eved, here, be coined this money, al menashe in the rabbi Rishus Bay, as soon as he says the word Kni, Kani Eved, the Kani Rabbi, it happens instantaneously. The Eved is Kainer, and then the Rabbi is Kainer. V'chi Om Malei Almanas, what he says subsequently, or, as Barry was pointing out yesterday, perhaps even prior to saying it's yours, when he says Almanas, Likum Kama, those words are absolutely meaningless. They have no legal effect whatsoever. Masha Kana Eved, Kana Rabbi. Rabbanu Sabi, no, even the Om Almanas, since they were there was a string attached to his words, I'm giving you this present. He says, on the condition that Ein L'Rabbi Rishus Bay, Hanali Tanai, so the Tanai works. And so therefore this would be a rare situation where an Eved has property, but the Odin has no rights to it because it was given to him with that string attached, Al Menashe Ein L'Rabbi Rishus Bay.
So the Eved, in essence, could, before becoming an Eved, do his estate planning and take his real whatever he has to set aside for his children.
And even post, after he becomes an Eved, if he has a good friend that's willing to give him money, al menash ein rabbeshes, right? According to that button, that would work. And in fact, it would belong to him solely and exclusively, and not to the rabbi. But that is only according to Rav Sheshes. Rav Loza Omer, no, I disagree. Kol ki haigavna, if you attach the almanas, she'ein l'rabach r'shisboy, kuli amale pligi, it does not work. That condition is meaningless. Why? The kani evad, as soon as the evad is kaina, kani rabbe. You can have as many strings attached as you want. Those strings are as flimsy as thread. So gunish vet. Evid owns it, it belongs to the rabbi. So what's the machlokes of the Mishnah? Somebody else gave him money. I'm not even giving the monies to you. I'm giving these monies that you should be the trustee or the custodian of these funds. Not that they belong to you. You got to put them in a special fund, which is called the Cheres Fund, that you're going to use these funds to go and purchase your freedom, whether it's today or next week. But the point is, I'm not giving it to you. Ah, that's where the Rabbana are going to go and say now, that's why the rabbi doesn't get it, as the Gemara is going to explain. The mayor of Giamalei Kni, as soon as he tells him, be koine, the boy say you can add whatever chuvis, whatever haskamis, whatever tenoyim, you can add kolater to kula, whatever you want. Bottom line is, kani eved, kani rabbi. All of these tenoyim are gunished, nothing. And therefore, any money that's given to him automatically goes to the other. You want to free him, it's got to be kesef al yedei achir. Like it says in the Mishnah. Rabbanan tzavri, liti dei nami holei komakni lei. Listen to what you're saying, Rameh. Rameh, you're saying, kani eved, kani rabbi. Here it's not kani eved. Liti dei nami holei komakni lei. He didn't say, I'm giving it to you, plus a condition. He said, I'm not giving it to you. I'm giving it that you should put it into a special trust account, use it solely and exclusively. I didn't give it to you. You have to be the trustee because you're the one that's interested in this. Nobody else in the world is talking about the freedom of this particular event. You, Willy Billy, you're the one that's interested. I make you the trustee. But it's not your money. If it's not your money, therefore, it's like Connelly Rabbi.
Doesn't the owner have to, as it were, accept it, or be willing to accept it for the Evid to be that custodian, to be that FedEx person, if he's going to refuse it?
Who has to be an agreement? Who has to agree?
The owner of the Evid.
You don't have to agree, he doesn't even have to know about this. The Rabbi, he's sleeping, or he's learning the daf in shul, yeah. And a person comes over to the Evid, here, I'm giving you this money. Oh, do you know, when you give me the money, it's going to belong to the Rabbi. Good point. I'm not giving it to you that you should own it. It should be owned by a trust. That trust will be under your custodianship. You'll be the custodian of the trust.
You'll be the trustee.
Probably,
so the rabbi doesn't even get yet either. It's still, as it were, in suspended, in escrow.
Exactly. It's an escrow fund, in a trust account, in a custodial account, but doesn't belong to either the rabbi or to the Evan. What can this custodial account be used? Only for the sole purpose, exclusively for Chayes. Since it doesn't belong to him, it doesn't belong to the rabbi. That's his father, Rabban. While according to Rameir, anything that the Ovid has any connection to, even if it's only in a custodianship type of situation, still belongs to him in the sense that he's in charge, he's in trouble, he's the one that takes care of it, belongs to the rabbi. So that's the machlokes in our Mishnah. What's the kasha for today? As you'll see from the Lashon HaGemara, the kasha is going to be according to the third pshat of Rebbe Lazar. And we're going to ask a steer Rameir, Rabban Rabban. V'Rabban Rameir Ad Rameir, V'Rabban Rabban Ad Rabban, and this side you will end in a braisa. Ein Isha Poy Demas Hesheini B'Loi Choymish. There's a pasuk in the Torah when we're talking about Mas Hesheini. Mas Hesheini, as you know, means that in the first year and the second year, the fourth year and the fifth year of the Shemitah cycle, in addition to giving Trumas and Maisa Rishon, you also have to give Mas Hesheini. We don't really mean you give Mas Hesheini, means you're mafresh the Maisa Sheni, and you have to take it up to
separate.
What do you take it to? Yerushalayim. Exactly right. Now what happens if this happens to be a very wealthy individual, and the amount of the Maisa Sheni to take to Yerushalayim would fill up 5 U-Haul trucks? Does he have to go to the expense to go and hire the people to go and bring the trucks and schlep it all to Yerushalayim? Answer is no. What he can do is, says the Torah, that he can go and be hoded, and he figure out how much all of this Ma'aser Sheni is worth, and take the money up to Yerushalayim, and then leave all the produce behind, which can be eaten now anywhere. It can be eaten in Tel Aviv, it can be eaten in Bnei Brak, it can be eaten throughout Eretz Yisrael. It does not have to be taken up to Yerushalayim, because he was pointed. Okay. Now the Torah says, V'mgo'al yigal ish mi ma'asroi chamishisoi yosef olav, which means, who's the one that's being pointed? If it's the actual owner of the Ma'aser Sheni himself, so the Torah, no problem, you can be pointed. But you got to add on a little bit of a tax. You have some stores nowadays, some people that if you want to go and pay by cash or by check, no problem. If you want to pay by credit card, you have to go and add 3% or 4% to the amount. Of course, they're being charged themselves. Yeah. Yeah, no problem.
The latest trend.
The latest trend. Okay, that's fine. If you don't want to use a credit card, then don't. Then pay in cash. But the point is that if you want to go and take up your Ma'aser Sheni, great. You want to be pointed, then you have to, if a person is doing it from his own funds for his own Ma'aser Sheni, and go al yigal ish mi ma'asroi, goyal means to be poyed his own ma'aser, chamishisi yosef olav, he has to add a chaydish. What happens instead if he has a next door neighbor or a friend or a cousin who says, I know you're a little bit tight on cash, you know what, I'm going to be poyed it on your behalf, I'm going to go and give the funds to be poyed. Guess what happens then? That he does not have to go and add a chaydish. It's only if goyal yigal ish mi ma'asroi, from his own ma'aser, he has to add a chaydish. What the focus of the machlokes in the Gemara that we're quoting now from a braisa is, what happens if it's not a neighbor or a friend or a cousin, but it's his own wife? The wife is the one that's being pointed. The question here now is, do you have to add the ma'aser? Do you have to add the chaymish? Because the wife and the husband are like one entity. Every time husband and wife get married, people said, until now you were plat gufa, now you're together as one. Yeah. All wonderful thoughts and feelings and emotions.
Is this
Ishtoke Gufa? That's the word I was looking for. Ah, Givaldik. I'm waiting for to be able to tell you also, Harry,
the Shatava.
And the Gitushu, the right time. You don't have to wait until Rosh Hashanah. This year already would be wonderful.
Amen.
Anyway, so we have a machloikis whether if the Ish is the one that's going and being mafresh, not mafresh, but if she's being poided a Ma'aser Sheni, does she have to add a Chayim Shanat? So as you see, the Gemara says to Sanya, Ein Isha poid the Ma'aser Sheni b'le Chaymish. A wife. The word Isha here doesn't mean a woman. Here it means a wife. A wife cannot be poid the Ma'aser Sheni without adding the Chaymish. In other words, she has to add the Chaymish. And the reason, says the top Rashi, is because she kibala. She is just like her Baal. She's just the alter ego. Just like Adam and Chava, according to one Mandiyam and Gemara, they were originally created as one guf, but both afterwards separated them. She is one guf together with Taprashi. Eini shepoyed the Ma'aser Sheni kusol kadaitach, the Ma'aser Sheni shehu mistei ba'ala. This grew in the husband's field. It's his tmua, his Ma'aser Sheni. Now shehi, the wife is kibala, just like her husband. The Karina lay, and we read the pasuk. She is now giving mi ma'asroi. She's now paying for the pidyon of his and ultimately her ma'aser because she kibal. The Kefarsh Levi Yosef Ligmor is going to develop this. One second. Reb Shimon Lozer Mishim Reb Meir Isha Poidim Ma'aser Sheni B'lechoy Mishno. She can be, says the next Rashi. Dilav di dohu. It's not her tvur. They moisif it chimish al pidyon masris begdeshes elabalim. It's not hers. It's his. And therefore, if she uses her funds to go and be poida his maser, I didn't do it. Well, I did. I did the pidyon, but it's not my maser. It's my husband's maser. It's my money. Never the twain shall mix. And therefore, shall meet. And therefore, says the Gemara according to Meir, you can be poided below yichaymish without a chaymish. Now, exactly what's the fact pattern? How does the tefillah belong to him? How does the money belong to her? The Gemara is going to discuss that. Do you have a preliminary question?
So, let's say she came into the marriage owning real estate.
Very good. That's what we call nechsim aluk. The Gemara is going to discuss that shortly. Very good.
We have one more clarification. Earlier, when you said on the base that the Mashkana Isha Kanabala.
Right.
So what's the carve outs, for example, if she works on her own and they have an arrangement where she can keep the wages.
Separate checking.
Yeah, so in other words, is that just sort of like that's a special deal? Yeah, otherwise, all other situations, if you find someone, see, yeah, belongs to her, will that be separate?
You recall back in Masechet Ksubis, and we had this in Gittin as well, where the Gemara says that when one of the things that he has to do for his wife, he has to give her food, he has to do mezainis. However, what happens if she earns more? Okay, stop. He has to supply with mezainis. In exchange, the quid pro quo is that she has to give him her mas yadai, her salary, her income. What happens if her income exceeds the amount of food that she eats? She has the right to go and say to her husband, you know what, you keep the mezainis, and I'll keep my mas yadai. And the same thing works. Fakert also said the Gemara, that if the amount is greater than the mezainis, he can say to her, you know what, keep your mas yadai, I'll keep my mezainis, and we'll be off very well. So if you make that type of arrangement, so that she can keep her masa, that belongs to her. It's her income, and she can go and save it, and she can go and invest it, and she can grow it. That would be a karba.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Otherwise, whatever.
Masha kana, isha kana ba. It's really konsa, isha kana ba, but that's correct. Unless you have one of these almanah situations. You could have someone, according to the second man, the Yomar, that goes and gives her money, almanah, she'ain le ba lech rishus boy. So according to the Rabbanan, according to the Rav Sheshes, that would work. According to Blazer doesn't give a similar example with Gabe Isha, because there it's not Shaykh to go and say, I'm giving you a trust fund to buy your freedom. Presumably that you could figure out other types of almanas not to belong to you, not belong to your husband for a special purpose.
So in Isha's style, we'll see that going to set up, mm-hmm, whatever that she's doing that as a with the specific agreement of her husband. In other words, how is she going to be going? She's going to set up from her own independent money that maybe she would earn, but how could she? That's
she uses that for. But if you look at the context of Eishes Chayil, we don't have the sitter open in front of us, but I believe it says that she supports her husband with those funds and with that income. Her husband and her family. But anyway, getting back to our Gemara, so we have now machlokes lagabe whether a wife has to add a chayish. Now, what does it have to do with the Gemara of the Amud Beis? At the moment, we're not there yet to ask the steer, because first we have to know the fact scenario. Hey chidam, ilayma bezuzei debal humaiser debal. If we're talking about that the woman is performing the pidyon, and in many of the Israeli small sidurim, they have a nusach of what you're supposed to say when you're being poyed the maaser shein. So hey chidam, ilema bezuzi debal. We're talking about that the husband supplies the money, and the maaser shein also belongs to the baal because it's his field. Like Rashi said, the stebal, the shlichusi debal of them. All she is a shliach, and if she's a shliach, then of course she has to go and give a chaymish, because she's just the alter ego of her husband. It's more than alter ego, it's just shliach shul adam kimoisai, and the mishalech is supplying the shliach with the money and with the master shegi. He's telling him, I'm too busy reviewing the daf, I don't have enough time to go and do the pikin. Please do this on my behalf. So then, of course, it's just as if the original baal did it, you have to go and add the chaymish. So that cannot be the machlokes. Ela bezuzi dida, umasa dida. And the Maile, you're going to go and tell me, talking about that it's her own money. How did she get her own money? This is like Ariel was asking before on the first narrow line of Rashi. Zuzi Dido to Nechsimaluk. Nechsimaluk means that she brought in property from her father's home even prior to the marriage. So she had her own money, not money that she received later, money that she even received earlier on. She brings it in, and therefore it's still her funds. Umasu didei, and the masu sheni belongs to the husband. Aha. So what's the din in such a case? Isha merachmanav le isha. Now the lashon gemara sounds like a man and not a woman. However, Rashi says that's not what we mean. What we really mean is the owner as opposed to a third party. If you look at the Rashi, el bezuzah dida, first narrow line, the next simulok, Umasa today misotoy sov. So this is his maser, her money. Isha Marachmana Isha. Ish mi masri omrachmana. Him goal yigal ish mi masri. Veloy isha mi maser ba'ala the isha ki acher damia. So really the drush is not so much ish veloy isha, but means ba'alim veloy acherim. The only time that you have to add a chaymish if it's your money from your maser. But here we're talking about the maser belonged to him. The money belonged to her, and so therefore it's like an ish acher. Everybody should agree that you don't have to add the chaymish. So Ibazoi said, what's the machloikis? Alav ki hai gavna. Rabbi, you want to ask a question?
Yeah, what's about ishtik gufay?
Ishtik gufay, that is the first man the yamad, at the top of the yamad. Ein isha poi de masa sheni b'loi chaymish, because Rashi said, she is kebala, she's just like her husband. She's just like her husband, just like the husband has to go and add the chaymish, then she has to add the chaymish. Reb Meir disagrees. Now we're trying to figure out what's the fact pattern, why would Reb Meir disagree? And we say ishtei kegufay, yes, it's a beautiful statement which has a lot of emotion to it, but we don't mean everything is physically ishtei kegufay. Take for instance, this brother Shai is calling people for a minyan for tomorrow morning for Shachris, and then someone says, I won't be able to make it, but my wife will come instead. Ishtei kegufay. I'm sure we would all agree it doesn't work. You see, it has its limitations. So, exactly. So, getting back to our Gemara says that since it says in the Torah, Timgal Yigal Ish Mi Masroi, Ish meaning the owner, the Baalim, but not Acherim, and therefore, if it's talking about Masr Didei, Zuzi Dida, everybody should agree that you do not have to be Moisif Choymish. So, what's the Machloikis? El Lav Ki Hai Gavno. Oh, it's a case similar to the case we had on Amid Beis. That what? The Akni Lo Acher Mona. A third party came to the scene and said, I know that your husband has to go and be Paita. I know your husband doesn't have any funds. You know what? I'm going to go and give you a present, a mona, but I'm not giving you the present that should belong to you. And then it will automatically belong to the husband, just like by the Eved we say, Masha Kona Eved Kona Rabbi, Masha Kona Seisha Kona Bala. No, no, I'm not giving it to you. The Omalah, Al Manasha Tifti Boyas Amaser. Oh, so this is a parallel to the Al Manas Shetetzi Boy Lechedis. I'm giving you a special escrow fund, trust account, custodial fund. Doesn't belong to you, young lady. Only thing that you can do with it is administer it for purposes of the pidyon. So what happens now? Do we say that, nevertheless, since she's the custodian, she's the administrator, it belongs to her, and therefore automatically belongs to her husband? Or do you say, no, this almanas is very much effective, and it doesn't belong to her, and therefore it doesn't belong to the husband, and therefore she can go and be poided without adding the chaymish. So, zokti mar v'ibcha sheman alahu. And now if we analyze the two svaris and the two halachas of the Tanakhama and the Reb Meir, we'll see that it's exactly the opposite of Reb Meir and the Rabbanan that we had yesterday, or that we already referred to, we reviewed again this morning. Let's go back to the case of the Amid Beis, Amanash Teitzi Boy Lecheiris. What did Reb Meir say? Ki Amali Kni, you go and accept it, Evid, this custodial account, this escrow account, Koni Eved the Koni Rabbi, and the Almanas is worthless, and so therefore it belongs totally to the Rabbi. Okay, so what was the case over here? Someone gave her this money, not for you, to be put into escrow, to use it strictly for pidyon. So according to the mayor, you should say, as soon as the lady is Koina, Koni Isha, Koni Rabba, in other words, her husband, Koni Bala, right? Based on yesterday's Moshe say, the almanas doesn't work, the money belongs to the rabbi, the soda belongs to the rabbi, it's mi masra, you should have to go and add the chaymish. Yet, what does Reb Meir say here? Reb Meir in the second line, that in fact this almanas works perfectly, that this is not her funds, it's not his funds, this is escrow funds, separate entity, not me masroi, not from his funds. And guess what? That's why you don't have to add a chaimish. Oh, so the mayor always said, every year says the almanas works. Yesterday he said the almanas doesn't work. Almanas loy klum. So as they say kni, boom, belongs to the eved, belongs to the isha, belongs to the rabbi, belongs to the bala, belongs to the bala, and you should have to add a chaimish. So the mayor just reversed. Now let's go to the rabbanan. What did the rabbanan say yesterday? The rabbanan said about this almanas takes it by the chayrus. I wasn't makne it to you, to the eved. It's in an escrow. It doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong to the rabbi. The almanas works perfectly. Ah, so the almanas works perfectly. What should be the din? That you don't have to add a chaimish because it doesn't. It's not the money of the baal. The money belongs to this escrow account. It's Zokti Yimara. So why does it say here at the top, Ein isha poidamash sheni b'lei chaimish, she has to add a chaimish. Like Rashi said, because she has the same din, Kibala, oy vavoy. Then you should go and say that the almanas is not working. So you have a stira rabbanan on the rabbanan. Rabbanan yesterday said almanas works perfectly. It's not his money. Here too, we should go and say this money does not belong to her. It doesn't belong to him. It's a separate escrow account. And therefore, you should be able to be pointed without a chaimish. Yet it says ani shepoy demata sheni b'loy chaimish. So therefore, it comes out. Where yesterday Rabbanan said the almanas works perfectly, that it doesn't become his mamon. Here he said no, the almanas does not work; it becomes his mamon, and therefore you have to add a chaimish. So it's a steer, a mayor, and a mayor, and the Rabbanan on the Rabban. Yeah, it's good to nishgit.
The difference is that in this case, when a person says shetifti boas a meiser, he effectively is already being pulled in a meiser.
Who's being pulled?
The third party. The
third party doesn't even know how much meiser there is.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because the pidyon of the meiser is not, I mean, it's with an estimate, but it can work with any amount whatsoever, we know from our from elsewhere. So when the third party is saying shetifti boas a meiser, effectively he's being pulled in the meiser.
Why do you say the same thing over here when he's giving his money to the haters?
As you explained yesterday, the Eved is owed lock, stock, and barrel, goof, and masa, and
everything
and,
to the other.
But here, the woman herself, he has an independent legal existence.
For sure.
So as it were, she's not a shliach of the husband, she's a shliach of the third party.
That's good. Even if she's a shliach of the third party, so you don't have to pay the chaimish.
Right. So I'm saying, so in that case, I don't understand why the Rabban says no, she's not really the poser ma'aser shan below chomesh of her, she's not a shliach of her husband, she's actually working as a shliach of this third party, the achir.
Mm-hmm.
And so there should be no problem whatsoever her having to pay a chomesh. He is basically...
Everybody should agree.
And he's being poded, basically giving it to her. He's saying this, I'm paying for...
I hear your argument perfectly, but your argument is undermined by the fact that he's talking to her. If he wants to be poded, he should just simply say, I know how much masa shame there is.
He doesn't, that's why he's giving her the money. He says, I don't know how much there is, I want to help
you.
Oh,
he can't be poded yet. So he's saying, I'm not being poded. Either he's saying explicitly or implicitly, I'm not being paid, I'm giving you the money. You figure it out, do the calculations, take it to the market, figure out how much
it's
going to
cost. Anyway, it's not kept, it's all estimated. I mean, can't you be paid a meiser sheni? Right, so you can give some rough amount and say that's it. You work it out.
Yep. But the point is, he didn't go and appoint her as a shliach, he gave her an escrow account.
Okay.
Use his funds to go and be matched. And so therefore, the Gemara considers this to be parallel to yesterday's almanas, where by yesterday's almanas, the mayor says, almanas v'lei klum, forget about it. And here the almanas works perfectly. And he says, absolutely, it's not her funds, and therefore you don't have to pay chaimish. Well, why not? The almanas doesn't work. It's kani, kani isha, kani bala, the ibcha shaman luhu. Omar Abayi says, epa. You're 100% right. You got to reverse it. It doesn't say which one you got to reverse from yesterday today. You got to reverse it. The two are inconsistent. No, you don't have to. Our Gemara is not talking about the whole kasha was based on that we're assuming that the fact pattern of this brisa is when a third party gave money, amanasha tifti bar. No, that's not the case. But when Maisa the osami beinasha askina, it's not his field and his meiser, it was her master sheni that she received biyerusha from her father. Husband and wife are nicely married, and Lo Yaleinu, one day she gets a call, Nebuch, her father, Rahman al-Islam, passed away. And the father had many different nechassim. He may have a couple of fields, a couple of horses, money in the bank, but besides that, he also had Master Sheni money, that or Master Sheni produce that had to be taken up to Yerushalayim, and he passed away before he was able to bring it up. So
is
now
that
the question. Exactly right. Considered Nachsimalot. So now, this Meiser that came to her, this Master Sheni, to also be Nasha Askina, and now, how does she want to go and be poided? See, if you look at the. Before we continue the Gemara, let's look at the Rashi. You see that Rashi uses the term Nechs Maluk just like Ariel did. Rashi in the middle of the Omid, the Isim Ibn Asha. Shemei Sevier, her father passed away. While you're in Master Sheni, and among other things, he had Master Sheni, produce piled up there. The Yorshisa and she Yarshin them Sharnachosim together with other things. The Yerusha Habal Loli Achamikan, what is that called? Ariel, what is Rashi? Natsimulu, just like you said, Mamashim Chavim to Rashi.
Is there a differentiation, like when she comes into the marriage, she already brings property with her, but here it's her father, meaning she didn't have the property while she was married, it was just because the father passed
on. You did fine.
So I thought of when she came into the marriage, she already had that property.
Before one gets married, one can go and stipulate whether the property should have a din of Natsimulu or Natsimulu in Barzim. The differences between the two are irrelevant to our Gemara, but the point is that then it can be legally structured. Mm-hmm. Here, however, if the father passed away after they got married, not that he was upset with the marriage that caused his death,
it could have
been out of independent reasons. Right. Anyway, now he leaves the Yerusha, then it's automatically Nechsa Maluk, then you don't make that distinction about the Tzayin Basel. Nechsa Maluk and Tzayin Basel are usually also referenced in the Ksuva. Obviously, that can only be if the Nechsa Maluk were pre-existing the marriage and not after they got married. Okay, anyway, but getting back to...
So if she comes into the marriage bringing property, do they have to specify that in the ketubah?
They write in the ketubah, and then some property, he gets paid, some property actually belongs to him because they appraise the value of the property, and then if Chas Hashem, this marriage terminates, he has to go and get back to the value. But that's we're getting off of the...
Yeah, there could be a son there, so she wouldn't be getting this property unless the father...
Exactly, all different types of legal ramifications. But getting back to the Rashi, just finishing off, the Yilkach Behen Karka, it's Nechsim Maluk, she has to go and buy Karka, Vu Oichopeiris, and he receives the payers from that. Okay, so now, what's happening over here? She received now Master Sheni. That Master Sheni, the Moshe, was worth $10,000. Good. We have to go and be poyed to the Master Sheni. Do we have to go and add a choymish to it or not? So that we're going to see in a moment. The question is, who does this Master Sheni Peiros belong to? Does it belong to her? Does it belong to him? Now what's the rule, standard rule when it comes to Nechsim Maluk? Nechsim Maluk, the Karen belongs to
her.
And the
Peiros belong to him.
Exactly. So now when we say Peiros, we don't mean the Peiros that she yarshed. That's the Karen. That's what she received as the principal. Exactly. What you have to do with, let's not talk about Master Sheni, let's talk about just regular chulin payers that she yarshin from her father. What you'd have to do is go and sell them. The money that comes in, you would go and use to go and buy a new piece of property. The piece of property would belong to her. Future payers that grow from that produce would belong to him. That's what's called the payers. So you could have payrois of payrois, that she received payrois as her Nechsim Maluk. Payrois are liquidated, they are sold. Take the money, buy now real estate. The real estate will be the corpus, belongs to her. The future income from that corpus belongs to him. Good. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara now, the question is, does he, the husband, have any shaychus to this Master Sheni that she just yarshed? If you're going to tell me that he has the payrois from that Master Sheni, then he has an ownership interest. If you're going to tell me that he has no payrois from this Master Sheni, then he will not have an ownership interest. So you're saying to yourself, if it's Nechsim Maluk, he has to have payrois
by definition.
Oh, that's the machloikis non argument. Ramei l'tami di omer maser momin hegdishu v'leikoni le'baal. You only have to go and give payrois from Nechsim Maluk if the woman owns the Nechsim Maluk. The woman doesn't own the Master Sheni. It's considered to be like Mamayn Hegdish. Now, we can't take this too far and say, you don't own it at all. It's not Hefker. best raya is if the Torah says Boal Yigal Ishmi Masray Chamishisa Yosef Olav, that if a person is being poda his own meiser, then he has to add the chaymish. If it's somebody else's meiser, you don't add the chaymish. If you're telling me the maser belongs to Mangman Hegdish, then it doesn't belong to me, it doesn't belong to you, it doesn't belong to anybody. It belongs to Kodesh Baruch Hu. The only one that would have to add the chaymish would be Kaviyachal Rabbi Yishlom himself. If you're telling me it all belongs to him. So obviously, it does belong to someone down below. However, it doesn't have the status like a regular Nechse Maluk, from which you would have to go and give the payrish to the husband. Remeir Latami that holds Maser Mumen Hegdishu, in a sense, is like an escrow account that belongs to Rabbi Yishlom, that she is in charge of, because she yarshed it from her father. But we're looking about, the Baal doesn't get any Nechse Maluk from it. That being the case, okay, let's go to the next Rashi. V'remeir l'tameh, the Amalek Kaman, the Perek days, we're going to see Mitchum next Perek, the Masamam Gavoyahu, V'achilosei Mishulchan Gavoyahu, when you get the benefit of eating from that Masah Sheni, it's difficult, if Baruch was sending you a pirkeh, here, package from heaven, Hilkoch in Kishar Nechosim, L'miknaya Baal B'takantid D'tokin Rabbanan, Peiris L'Baal. It's in a separate category on its own. It's in an exclusionary category, like Brother Shai was talking about before, that the Baal does not get paid. Hilkach leizachi, but he has no schus. So now, if the Baal is the one that supplies the funds now to do the pidyon, lami masrihu, bezuzi dechad, umasri dechad. If he is supplying the money, she is supplying the maizris. These maizris don't belong to him at all. He can just wave at them. If she permits him, he can go eat from it after the pidyon, naturally, or take it to Yerushalayim. But the point is, since he has no chedek in these payers, zuzer echad, maaser echad, that's why Remeir says, isha poy the maaser sheni b'loy chedesh. Mashenkon, going back to the Rabban of Agamar, Rabban of Tamay the Amin Mom and Hedjidu. No! The maaser sheni is regular, normal mum and hedjit. Of course, there are limitations and restrictions. You have to either take it to Yerushalayim or you have to be pointed. The koni lebala, the bala is koni like any other nechsimuluk that he has an interest vis-a-vis the payers. Hilkach, shlichus of the balka of this. And now when she's being mafresh, using his money, guess what? It's not only using his money, it's his money and his payers. That being the case, of the Gemara, that's why you would have to add the chaymish. Next Rashi. Rabbanu l'tamai, the amamam and hejitu. V'chayil alei tekant rabbanu, u'peiris lebal, kishar nechsei meluk. V'kim te bezuzi lebal, horka, bo yichaymish. You have to add the chaymish. So therefore, it has nothing to do with our Gemara of yesterday, but amanas, yo, nish, nothing to do with that. It has to do with the question of, what's the din of Master Shani money, Master Shani payrois? Is it considered to be nechsei meluk, and he gets payrois? Or is it not nechsei meluk, he doesn't get payrois? Nothing to do with us. Now we go off on a brand new sugya and a baisa.
Fine day.
Shelly, come on in. Jokti Mara. Tana. In our Mishnah, you recall, we said that an Eved Kanani can be Yoitza, the Kesef Ubishtar. Now our Gemara is telling us, in a braisa, he can also be Yoitza B'Shein Ba'ayin, and Rosh Yevarim Sheinam Chayzrin. And what is this Shein Ba'ayin? So now there's a pasuk. If you have the Torah or HaSholem, you're not going to find it here on the Amud Aleph, but if you'd like, you can look at the Amud Beis. The top of the Amud Beis, you have a Torah or HaSholem, the Chiyake Ish, on the left-hand side, the Chiyake Ish es Ein Avdoi, o yes Ein Amosei v'shichasa, achofshi yishalchenu, tachas Einoi. And then there's another pasuk that says after that, that he is Maka, the Shein Avdoi, or Shein Amosei Yapil, so the Torah says that if an Odoi, a master, owns an Eved Kanani, born on Mivriya, and for some reason he goes and gives a punch, and that punch unfortunately causes the Eved or the Omivriya, not Omivriya, the Shivcha Kananis, Gesundheit, to go and become blind, Rachman Litzlan, or he knocks out a tooth of either the Eved or the Shivcha, they go free. Another form of Yetziah. You're wondering to yourself, hey, how come it doesn't say that in the Mishnah? The Mishnah only says that Koines Asim Vekasav Mishtar. What about this Shein v'ayin business. This is not my kasha. That's the toisis all the way in the bottom, the last toisis in the last line. B'tana didundle, tanalu mishum nesavu d'tzorach get shichrut. We're going to see further on the Amid Beis, there'll be a machloikis. After the person loses the shein v'ayin, do they still need the get to get their final termination from the original other?
What if they have a shein v'ayin? Yeah. Do they get compensation?
It's a shein v'ayin. That's a shein kasha. Good. You recall my uncle, the Blazer Shriver, Zechran Lebracha. When somebody would go up to go in lane on a Monday or Thursday or Shabbos Mincha, he would say, oh, does a Shaina eat? He knows how to lane until Shaina. Does a Shaina eat? So your type of question also is a Shaina kasha.
Very good.
Beautiful. Anyways, we're getting back to our Gemara. Satana Yoitze B'Shein V'ayin, V'Roshi Eivorim She'en Choizim. Also, he goes out if the Odei knocks out one of the Rashi Eivarim. What are the Rashi Eivarim? Rashi says, there are Chavdalerheim. There are 24 of them, and they're listed in Masechtas Negoim. And if you're wondering, but what are they? So just turn the Amud to Daf Chofei Amud Aleph, and as you'll see, seven lines before the wide lines, the Gemara quotes from Masechtas Negoim. Titnan, Esam Bi'arba'a Rashi Eivarim Sheba Adam. 24, kulam ein betam mishum michya. That means that it's not betam mishum nega tzaras. Ve'eluhain, which are the 24? Very easy. Roshi etzbois yudayim v'raglayim. 10 fingers, 10 toes. The roshi means the tops of them. That's 20. Roshi is 9, 2 ears. That's 22. Roish hachoytem, the nose, is 23. Roish hagviya, by a man, the aver down below. And by Isha, it's Rashi Dadim Shabi Isha. Why pink those, yes or no? We're going to talk about that tomorrow's daf. But those are the Chavdal of Rashi Eivar. But our Gemara is telling us...
They're not coming to Saras.
No, no to Saras. Okay, yeah. So since you're raising the issue, the reason is because it said in the Pasuk, L'chol Marei Einei HaKoyen. So if a person, what's the minimum shear of a nega? It has to be kigris. Like a dime, like a penny. What happens if the front of the finger, you see a half a gris? But if you turn it over, I see the other half a gris. But you can't see it at one time. Because when you see this, then you don't see that. When you see that, you don't see this. It's not l'chom mari en yakoy. It has to be one gris that you can see all at one time. In one glance without having to turn around.
I'm going to give myself Musar. Why did God give us two eyes, two ears and one mouth?
Why is that?
We listen twice as much as we speak.
Exactly.
Very good. Beautiful. Good. Anyway, so the reason for the Rosh the Rosh Yaznayim is the same thing. You see on the top of the cartilage or the bottom or whatever, you go and see a nega, but you don't see the whole thing. But if you turn it over, now I see the other. So it's not L'chom Mari in here. Okay, and that's why it's not Mitzdarev. That's Mishnah God. Anyway, after the Mishnah ends, then the Gemara says, "Tani Allah b'kulam eved yoitz behen l'cheiris." Eved also goes l'cheiris with all of these 24 Rosh Eivar. We're going to talk about that a little bit more shortly. Anyway, so the point is, he goes up the Shein V'ayin and the Rosh Eivarim. Zok Timar, Bishpon the Shein V'ayin Ksiv. That says Beferish in the Pasuk. That's the Kiyaka Ish, which we just saw the Pasuk in the Amid Beis. El Rosh Eivarim mean no lon. How do I know the other 12 foot and 24 Eivarim? Do me the Shein V'ayin. I learned it up like from a Mamatzinu. Ma Shein V'ayin, Mumin Shebegolim Enim Chayzer. Shein V'ayin, you easily see if somebody's missing an eye and missing a tooth. As soon as he smiles, you see, he's missing a tooth. And if he has a gold tooth, you see the gold tooth immediately. So, Mashim Ayin Mun Shebekabi, Vein Mechoizer, doesn't return. If a person loses Chas Hashem an eye, but loses a tooth, it doesn't grow back. You can go and insert a new tooth, then even insert an eye into the socket, but that's not a real eye and it doesn't work. So, Vein Mechoizer. Afkol Shem Mechoizer, Vein Mechoizer. Same thing applies to any Mun Shebekabi, Vein Mechoizer. So, in other words, that's how we know the other. Because the ultimate mishmer goli, you look at the fingers. If he's missing the tips of the fingers, you see it. Pain choiz. So Gemara, the aim and the heavy shame va'ayin kishnei ksuma bon ki'echad or shnei ksuma bon ki'echad aim alamdin. Because the Torah could have said only ayin or only shame. Why does it have to say both? And the Gemara gives a shame attack. Tzricha because Rachmana only shame have a min afila shame the cholav. I would think even a milk tooth or what we call in America baby teeth. And therefore, what happens if you have an odoy that has a young katan, and he gives him a punch, why Rabbi was acting up and making a lot of tzuris, and one of the teeth falls out. Oh, the cotton goes to the cheres. Oh no, because Rechmana Ayin, it's got to be in a permanent tooth, not a baby tooth, just like an Ayin is permanent. Because Rechmana only Ayin, I'm a minute, my Ayin should never imay. The only time that the person would go out the cheres is like something that was born together with the individual. Of course, never imay. Avashain loy, nobody's born with teeth, certainly not with their permanent teeth. So I would think that knocking out a tooth would not be a cause for cheres. So you cannot say after both shein v'ayin. So therefore, it's not takes some bokechet and melamdim. Right, Gemara. The aim of one who knows a klal will prat to klal. Kiyake is klal. Make anything. Then it says shein v'ayin. Prat. Shein v'ayin. Klal will prat in klal mashu b'frat. Shein v'ayin in the minachon loy. Only shein v'ayin and nothing else. Because the pasuk continues on. Kiyake ish is ein avdoy, etc. And it says, "Lachovshi yishalchenu tachas einai." What's this additional lachovshi yishalchenu? Chaz v'kolal. Have a klal u'prat a klal. He has to dunk and a prat. Ma prat mefurish mun shabagoli v'einan choizen. Afkom mishabagoli v'einan choizen. And that's why all the chov talad ibarim are also included, not only the shein v'ayin. Now says Zimora, it doesn't say befeirish that the reason for the shein v'ayin because the mun shabagoli v'einan choizen. This is just two of the properties that Shein V'ayin have. Actually, there's a third property as well. Im ha'prat mefurish mumin shebegoli. You can see a missing eye or a missing tooth. And it's not choizer, it doesn't return. But there's another thing to it too. U'batim ha'malachta. Umiz batim ha'malachta. After a person loses an eye, rachman al-islan, then he no longer has the vision that he had until now. Hopefully he can still see with the other eye. But there is no further usage or vitality, or malacha usage of the eye that's missing. Same thing with the tooth that's missing. You can hopefully bite with the rest of your teeth, but that particular tooth that's missing is nothing that you bite with, so now you've lost the utility and the usage of the eye and the tooth. Ah, feina choizer, doesn't return. Afkom b'mishabikol v'yena choizer, u'batam malachtet. Maybe it has to have that third property as well, since we're learning it ke'en aprat. So Loma Tanya says, how can we learn in another braisa the tolesh biskonai, what happens if the Eved had a beard and the Odin got angry at him and he gives a yank on the beard, the dildoboy etzim, he did such a good yanking, not only did some of the hair come out, but even one of the jaw bones to which the hair of the beard is attached also got on
dislocated,
that's the right word, dislocated from its spot. Wow. Once it and Eved Yitzman Mechayis. Now the question is, even though part of that beard bone, part of the chin, whatever, fell down, it's not batel malachta. The person can continue doing whatever he did until now, because that's just a stationary bone. It's not like an eye that gives vision. It's not like a tooth that gives you the chewing. It's just a bone.
Make no bones about it.
Make no bones about it. And therefore, the halacha should be that he should not go out the cheres. If you're assuming that you have to have all three properties, it's not enough that it's mum shebegoli. And that not enough in choizer. It's got to be bata malacha. Here, there's no bita malacha. Bita malacha doesn't mean that the person is disabled or that he cannot work. It means that particular body aver can no longer do its function. This has no function. It just stays there. So no longer is a part of the face. And now it's hanging down. It looks terrible. It's a mumsha begoli, but he's not bata malacha. Now, before we continue on, we have to understand. I counted the 24 before. We didn't mention anything about a jawbone or a beard bone or a chin bone. So what does that have to do with these 24? What's going on over here? So the answer is that although there's 24 vis-a-vis in the goyim over here, it's really any evarim. Lav davka rashi evarim. Where do you take that from? How do you say that? So these ones have with. So if you have the run all the way in the back of the Gemara, it's a short run, and many of the other Gemara's in Daf Tes. Is it in Daf Tes here too? Yeah, it's Daf Tes in the pages of the Dafim of the Ran in the back of the Gemara. Thank you. Probably take the time. Good. Then, Daf Tes, all the way in the back in the Rif. Anybody have Daf Tes there in the back?
Mm-hmm.
So you look towards the top. On the third line of the Ran. Ran is the one on the left-hand side of the Rif. See all the way on top. It says, Tana Yoitz B'Shem V'Ayin Amasis and Toy to come up with his Atzmoy Ubrash Eivorim Chavdalei. Everybody have that. Mm-hmm. Good. Now go down about a quarter of the a third of the Amid. See what it says in bold letters. Tana Rabbanan, 10 lines up above that. Where it says, V'kulon eve yoitz v'en l'cheir. Somebody have that kulon yet? V'hu adin l'share v'arim shabagoli v'en l'chayzim. Not only the 24. All the others too. So why does it say about the chav talit? V'ani itzrach l'ashem inan. Here's a chidush. The avagav del inyan negoyim lo'ikarinen b'hu l'chol mare eni hakoyim. By the fingertips, it's not l'chol mare, because you can only see the one side, not the other side, unless you turn it around. The Indian Abbot, Mumsha Begolihu. Remember, we're learning from Shane V'ayin, it's got to be Mumsha Begoli. I might have thought, since I don't see the other side of the finger, it's not a Mumsha Begoli, only half of it Mumsha Begoli. The other side is Mumsha Beseisa. Kamash will know the Chavtal Yavonim are also. So the Chiddush is that they're also considered to be Yavonim for our purposes. But certainly the halacha applies to any Yavonim. Lav Davka.
So something the nega has to be that has to be going in one glance as it were.
Exactly.
But
exactly
not the
right.
But not the moment.
Exactly. So therefore, the Ran is telling us is even though we said the Rashi Evarim Lavdavka, it really means any Evarim. No, not only the 24. And Rashi says it here, Bekitzur as well. If you look at Rashi, third line from the top, Dildu by Etzer Ishmita Mimekoimoi Umechub Bebasa. It is now dislocated. And it's hanging there, one of the cheekbones, or one of the bones that extend from the chin, or whatever. It doesn't go back, it won't grow back. The soifalivish, in fact, it's eventually going to dry out. Filippo, and it might just fall down and make a sound. The amgav v'leka bitl malacha, the etzim dezokin lamidi habit of it, didn't give you vision, it didn't give you any strength in your chewing. Even the begolihu, You can see that Nebuch this etzim fell out. Ain't a chayzer. Harry who? The etzim arba roshi evarim. Just that. This halacha of the negoyim is taka only roshi evarim, the 24. But by uns, it's a much wider spectrum.
Mari Cohen, yes, there it's Mari Cohen here.
There's no nifer Cohen to see it.
Says Ay Bazoi. So why did we even refer to the chavdal evarim to tell you a chiddush? So kedai techmina. That these 24, it's not mum shabagoli because you only can see part of the mum. You don't
even
see
these,
the other.
Even these. That are not negoyim. Are yotzei lecheres evarim.
For purposes of negoyim, they're not mum shabagoli because it's not lechon mari eni hakoyim. But for purposes of shein v'ayin, yotzei lecheres, they are mum shabagoli that you do go on. So that's the chiddush. Bruchim. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara now. So if anybody asks you, how does an Eved go l'cheiris? Tell him Shein V'ayin. And any Rosh Yavarim that it's a Mumsha Begoli, that you can see it, not something in the middle of a person's stomach or whatever. They type of, I know that stomachs have Yavarim in them, but you get the idea. Something within the infrastructure, it's not a Mumsha Begoli. As well as, in a chayz, if it doesn't remedy itself, it's the type of thing that just doesn't repair itself, can't, in a chayz. So getting back to the Gemara now, so why, Taka, don't you learn that it has to have all of these three properties? Number one, it has to be Mumsha Begoli. Number two, Ein Echoizen. Number three, Batam and Malachtoi. So I'll tell you why. Because you learned until now a Klalu Prat, a Klal in Tzidk, Bikena Prat, Lachofshi Yishalchenu, which was previously the third leg of the Klalu Prat, a Klal, that was the second Klal. It's not a Klal, it's Rabu Yehu. And therefore, says Rashi, this whole drasha is not a klal uprat a klal, it's a riboy miyot v'riboy. And everybody knows a riboy miyot v'riboy is much wider in expanse and in inclusive, far more inclusive than just a klal uprat a klal.
Maybe only to the people who learn riboy miyot v'riboy, but there are all in a school that only learns klal uprat a klal and doesn't learn riboy. So
for sure. Goes according to the man Yom, and learns Riboy, and therefore it is not circumscribed by that third factor of Bittul Malachtoi. He went out the Bittul Malacha. Riboy is much, much broader and much wider.
Is the Gemara going to say what's Mamayit then?
That's what we're going to see in a moment.
How is the
losing
two?
Yeah. Bittul Malachtoi of the Chewing. Not that the Muslim person.
Not for the
person himself can continue conducting services the way he's been doing it.
The bittul of the functions are been impaired.
Exactly. We're talking about the bittul of the function of that particular eidah. So when you're talking about something which is in the mouth or something, which doesn't affect chewing, so if Nebuch, a part of the chin falls down, it looks terrible. The guy's probably going to wear a handkerchief around his head. Or do something, cosmetic surgery.
Or a mask.
Whatever.
That's a COVID solution. Mask.
Good solution.
Yeah, it's a wonderful solution. Yeah. Okay, anyway, so getting back to our Gemara.
So, that's really the Kiddush of his malach.
The malach, the functionality of that ayin, or of that shein, or any other aver that. So, that's right, Gemara. Since the dildul of this zakin bone doesn't affect any function, has no functionality, it's just stationary.
It's cosmetic.
Oh, so Gemara, you're right, if I learn from klal uprat to klal, ein hachanami, then that should not free the eved. However, if I'm learning with Reba and Ramiyat, it would free the eved. So for Gemara, once you do a Reba and Ramiyat, you're basically opening up the floodgates. Why don't you go and talk about even temporary mumin? What would be a temporary mummy? He gave him a patch on his arm, on his hand, mitzamsa, and it shriveled up temporarily. The sefer laughs, he goes to the doctor. The doctor says, you just have to have patience. Come back in a month from now and you'll see that it's going to start developing again. It's going to be fresh and good and fine. So why don't you say now?
The doctor has to have patience.
Exactly, otherwise he wouldn't make money. He closed up his office. The sefer laughs, nami, so why don't you go and say that in that case too, the Evid should go lecheres. Of course, it's a riba mitzvah riboy. Hello, matanya he ko al yad betzamsa. The sefer lachzer ain evid yotzibol lecheres. But you're in kainshin. But how my honey like? After all, it's not just a riboy. It's a riboy miut veriboy. So the miut has to go mimayit something. Brother Barry asked before, what is it mimayit? It's mimayit a temporary situation where eventually it will be sefer lachzer. Says the Shem V'ayin. Shem V'ayin is never sefer lachzer. Unfortunately, a person loses his permanent tooth, he loses his eye. You're not going to be able to, of course, you'll be able to go to a dentist and they'll add another tooth, but it won't be able to have your own tooth, your own eye. Ain't a sefer lachzer. But in a situation where it's a rashi event, it's sefer lachzer, that's what it excludes, and then the eved is not yoytzev and lachzer. Zokti mar tan rabban. We already alluded to this on the Amud Aleph. Bekulam eved yoytzev and lachzer. All of the Eivorim that we spoke about, the Shein V'ayim and the Eivorim, goes out the Cheiris. The Tzorach gets Shechar, but he needs to get Shechar. Tiv Ripshin. You know, you don't need to get Shechar. But that's only Mitzorach gets Shechar. The Tavanam and Mitzorach gets Shechar. Rabbi Kibbon Mitzorach gets Shechar. Hamachrim Lefei Chachom Oimim Nirin Tiv Rab Tarfin B'Shein V'ayim Shatiris Zoch Salon Tiv Rabbi Kibbon B'Shar Eivorim Hol Knas Chachomim Hu. He's trying to make the Yovi HaKosra Shlish V'Achriya B'Neim and trying to distinguish between Shein V'ayim. There you do not need a Shah Shechar, and Sha'arivarim where you do need a Shah Shechar. Shein V'ayin says, but finish in the Torah. Sha'arivarim is only a Knas Chachamim. Oh, a Knas Chachamim, then you have to have a Shah Shechar. Frank Timor, Knasu? Whoever spoke about a Knas Chachamim? Great conditioning. We just spoke about
Reba Mir for Reba.
Aklal Pratakal, Reba Mir for Reba. We're learning from Pepsukim, and that's not a Knas Chachamim. But tomorrow, you're right. I misspoke. I didn't mean Knas Chachamim. Doesn't say befeirish in the Torah. That's why you have to have a shtar shechar.
Isn't it logical?
What's logical?
Shein v'ayin, you can see. So nobody's going to ever question why. But if you go, if let's say in Avi you don't see, so it could be maybe they'll try to rearrest it.
Guess what? If it's an Avi that you don't see, it doesn't go free.
By definition, it has to be gully. You have to
see the guy's missing a finger, he's missing a nose, he's missing a toe.
That advertises his.
No problem. Everything is
damaged.
Anyway, Sezok the Gemara, that's why he distinguished between one and the other. By the way, Rashi says, what's the reason why he needs to get shichrod? Lahatiroi bebas choyr. We're actually about a quarter from the top. Hermashi is mashma attack of the shame. V'ayin is effective that he's a free person. To get shichr, you need lahatiroi bebas choyr. That's not just because of the certificate that you put on the wall. The choyr, what Rashi is trying to say is that there are two kinyonim in every eved. There's a kinyon mamoin and a kinyon isur. As far as the kinyon mamoin is concerned, as soon as you knock out the shame v'ayin, he's free out mamoin. But out isur, he still has a dinim like an eved kanani. If he wants to go and get married, sorry, you still never come. For that, you don't need to get shechar, you need the shechar.
So the people who say don't need to get shechar are actually penalizing him because he can't get married.
No, the people that didn't know me in Yeshiva said that the Yitzias, Shein V'ayin, accomplishes both.
I see. Both
the Moitzi, the moment, and the
Isser.
31. My time is Reb Shimon. What's the Svar of Reb Shimon? And what was Reb Shimon? Reb Shimon was the first of all these land. The Amram, it says you need a get shechem. Yalef, Shiluach, Shiluach Ma'isha. He has a Gzeira Shah. What does it say over here? Lachofshi Yishal Chenu. Lashon Shiluach. By an Isha, if the husband and the wife, unfortunately, are at loggerheads. And what does he do? The cost of law, Sefer Krisis V'Nosim B'Yoda. What does it say in the Pasuk? The Shilcham Ibeisai. The Holcha V'Hoysel Ish Acher. Ah, so there it says the Shulcha Ibeisai by a woman. It says, Lachofshi Yishal Chenu by an Eved. You learn from Isha. My Isha B'Shtar. Av Eved Nami B'Shtar. Just like an Isha, you need a Shtar. A get, here you need a Shtar Shechem. Rameir says, I love your Gzeira Shavah. Because of Chofshi LeBesoif Kirika Amos. If it would say Yishal Chenu LaChofshi, I would agree with your Gzeira Shavah. Hashi Kosev LaChofshi Yishal Chenu Havle Chofshi Meikara. The Chofshi comes and precedes Yishal Chenu and is saying, don't learn the Gzeira Shavah Shiluach LeShuach, but rather as soon as it's Shein V'Ayin LaChofshi, you're out the door. Shiluach is only the next term thereafter. So therefore, you don't learn that for your Gzeira Shavah, and you don't need a get you. Turn about. Ikoal Einoi V'Samah. Now we're going to go into some of the details. Ikoal Einoi somebody Chas V'Shalom. If the Odoin goes and Sama and causes the Eved to become blind. In other words, it doesn't have to necessarily be that Nebuch, the eye, falls out of the socket. Mm-hmm. Just by the Mak V'Samah, he blinds it. Or for that matter, Al Oznoi V'Chorsha. We're no longer talking about shame, because we're talking about all the Avarim. If he hit him on the ear, to the point, the Chosha, never the guy is now permanently disabled, that he's now deaf, and yet he's going to chetz. Because he's a mumen sheba goloi, and ain't a chosha. Neged ain't a v'ain a roi, k'neged ozev ain't a shemea, ain't ever yet been a chetz. Now, the Gemara doesn't define it, but as we'll see in the next line, neged ainoi or neged oznoi means that you made such a huge, massive sound that caused the person to become deaf, like at 99% of the chasanis that we go today, unfortunately. And same thing can even have by eyesight. Apparently, if you make a huge sound, the person can lose his eyesight, Rahman al-Islam. Mm. Says, Ein ever yet ben l'cheps. On Shimon al-Rabashi, the member that called Lafklumu, you're telling me that making sounds, this is gunish. That's a major hezek. But Tony Roman by Yecheskel, time ago, if you had a rooster, Shoishin Roishin, the Aver Kaitzchukas, he stuck his head in where he should not have, into a place, chuchas, into a glass jar or whatever.
Clean.
The talker boy, and he took the shofar, he started blowing in it. Loud after shofar, you get the idea, it makes a loud, large sound. Mm-hmm. The shibra, as a result of the sound, the place, chuchas, broke. The shal mezik shal, you gotta go and pay full mezik, full damage. Vimar v'yosef amid beirav, sus shetzonav, if you have a horse that neighed or brayed, v'chamor shenuar, similarly neighed or brayed, one of the two is for one for the other, v'shubur kelim, and they broke kelim b'tuch habayis, as a result of that noise, mishal m'chatzi nezik. Rashi says that the reason why one is nezik shalom, the other chatzi nezik, not because there's a difference in halacha, but it's a difference in mandiyam, it's a machloi between sumchis and rabbanon, whether you pay for tzroiris nezik shalom, or tzroiris like chutzi nezik. But what do I see from that? That koilois, a koil raj gudol can make a hezek, and you got to pay for the hezek. So why doesn't the eved yoytze behem lechayris just based on the koil alone? The Gemara says something fascinating. Omale shani odim kim de bardasu. He has seichel iu mivis nafshe. He is, if you will, guilty of contributory negligence. The reason why he loses his eyesight or his hearing is because he allows himself to be frightened. A person who frightens his chaver, and as a result, you have permanent damage, like we'll see. You don't have to pay the dinar. The should go and pay. Ketzad, give me an example. Talk about Oznoi v'Chorsha. He went and blew in his ear. V'Chorsha made him Nebuch deaf. Pot. Achzov talk about Oznoi. What happens if he grabbed him, grabbed his ear, and then he blew directly in his ear? That's really different V'Chorsha than his chayv.
Either way. That's not a psychological act, that's a physical reaction.
Oh, very good. So, the Rashi explains that what the Gemara is saying is, in the first case, talking about Oznoi, where he did not grab hold of him, why did the person have to lose his hearing?
because it's too loud.
It's too loud. It's too loud.
He could have avoided. He could have fled.
But one doesn't go so much on the fled. Apparently, it is because you're not controlling your emotions. If you would say to yourself, "I'm not afraid of this terrible, huge noise," because I go to chasanis three times a night and I hear this and I try to go and take it out of my mind. Yes, sir. What would you like to say?
Is it psychological or is it? If a mitzvah is, if you make a loud, sudden, loud noise, mm-hmm. it's possible. The physical reactions, you lose. Or the Gemara saying no, it's psychological. It's a mitzvah. It's a question.
No question. But the Gemara said before, Hamavis is chavero. The reason why it's possible, the Gemara saying is, keep the bardas.
I understand five das, so it's maybe psychologically, but if noise is physical, it's not psychological.
So what's Gemara saying? What's Gemara saying?
Maybe it's a scary thing, something else. Maybe it scares you. But if somebody makes a loud noise, as you say, chasana, physically speaking, it's not good for ears.
If you look at the Rashi in the middle of the Amud, Shani Odom the Bardas. You have that right here?
Yeah.
Hi Nizik. When he gets frightened and becomes so emotional that he loses his eyesight or his hearing, it's midati komivis, shenoisen liboy el pachad koil abo bisayim. This koil that is coming, he allows himself to be frightened. If this person would be a person of very strong physical stature, he wouldn't allow. I'm not afraid. You can scream as much as you want, you can make as much noise as you want. I'm ignoring everything.
And it won't affect the physical.
That's what the Gemara is suggesting.
Okay, right.
Anyway, and that's the case. That's why if he holds on to him, there's no way that I can, it's not only that I can't flee, then I'm afraid because the guy is holding on to it. And then it's more physical. The other one is more psychological. Good. Mashenkin, of course, when you're talking about the Tarnagol and the Yisus Shetzana, nobody has over there. These Klitzchuchas has no mind of its own to avoid the sound and the noise. So therefore, by definition, it's going to break. Okay, Tarnabat. He called Eina Bikasa. Al Shino even Nodada. He caused, now, Bikasa is from Lashon dimming. He dimmed the eyesight of that person by giving him a patch on his eye. Or he gave him a patch on the shame, the nodada. The shame is still there in its position, but now it's a shaky tooth. If he still has continued utility, he didn't lose bitl memalachtoi. You could still, in other words, unfortunately, he doesn't see as well as he did until now, but he could still see. And he cannot chew as well because it's shaky, but he can still chew. And then he has the defect. He doesn't go left. The amlav, however, if in fact he has no further utility, he has dimmed it to the point that you can no longer use that eye, or he has caused this tooth to be so shaky that you cannot go and chew with the tooth, because then effectively it's worthless. It's totally bottom malacha, good. Now, tiny idach, we have another price where it's just in reverse. Originally, when he bought the eved never had a problem with his eye, and he had dim eyesight. Vesama, and now he completed it. The other gave him a patch, and then now he's totally blind. Or Shinoi Neduda, previously had a shaky tooth. They peel it, and now the whole thing came out. In Yochelish Damish Behen Kvar, if previously he had utility and functionality from them, because now they have nothing, right? Now it's summer. Hey, peel it, now it's zero. The Imlav, if however the eyesight was so dim that he couldn't really see anything, and the shame was so shaky, it didn't help in the chewing. And then he didn't really make the situation worse because until now he also had no use of the eye or of the tooth. So the Gemara thinks that these two halachas are basically the same. It all depends on, do you have usage? Don't you have usage? I need both. Now I need both, says Rashi, both the first and the second to tell you the case of Yoytze ben Lecheres, if the Eved does go out Lecheres. The Ashmini Achamaisa, the first case. You know why it goes Lecheres? Bishun the Mikor and the Hoyra body. Until this moment when the other gave him a patch, he had perfect eyesight, perfect use of the teeth. And now it's so much dimmed. That's the reason why. If it gets to the point that he really cannot use it anymore, Mara said, Eini yochel ishtamish, but yotzu lecheres. Aval hocha, but in the second case, to make her inami yotzu lecheres, he found him already with dimmed eyesight, which he could not use. So I would think he should not go out lecheres. The second case, now it's really permanent when he knocked out the eye or he blinded it for sure. That's the end. The buck ends here. The first case, that he didn't go and totally samya. After all, he still had some utility, not much, obviously. Hey, Malay, so think. Now, Tzricha, you have to have both cases. Now, Tanur Rabbi, I'll show you Rabbi Reuther. What happens if the rabbi of the Eved, besides being a master of slaves, he also was a doctor? The Omalai and the Eved asked him, can you do me a favor? I have something bothering my eye. Likacholai Eged, do me a favor, can you go and put some eye ointment in my eye? And he did it in the summer, but unfortunately, as a result, he became blind. Lafaloshinai, the rabbi was a dentist, and he said, could you do me a favor and give me a proper cleaning around the tooth? They peel it, and he did such a good job that the tooth fell out. What's it? Didn't Sichi Ba'adoin? He at the Oskalat, that means he can laugh now at his rabbi. He had some chayrus, because the bottom line is, he did a job on the Shen Ba'ai, and now goes the chayrus. Reb Shem Gamliel Oymer, the Shichasa, at Shishchav and Lishochasa. The Lashon of the Pasuk is the Shichasa. If you go back to Ois Aleph Torah Or, the Chiyaka Ishes, Ein Abdes, Ein Amosa, the Shichasa. Shichas means with intent. He did it amazing. Just kavan l'shachasa. He didn't intend doing it. As the chadokta, he's a dentist. He's trying to make things better, not make things worse. So therefore, what's a lot in that case? A Reb Shimon Gamliel, he does not go out l'chayis. Rabbanan, l'chayir Reb Shimon Gamliel has a good point for shichasa. He's a mashchis. He is a destroyer. He's a doctor. He's a dentist. He's a destroyer. Rabbanan, hay b'shichasa, may avdilei. What do they do with that word? Yiboy l'le g'sanya. What happens if you have not a regular optician or optometrist and a dentist, and now you have a gynecologist, have a doctor that's about to deliver a baby? So to go and extract the baby, and unfortunately the simay ubishimeha, and he was misami nebuchi, he caused the kid to be blind. But why? My Tamil occurs is but the Vishikhas is Khaban Lishokhasa. Ah, so the Tanakama would hold in that case, just like Reb Shimon Gamliel holds in the case of the dentist or the regular doctor, the optician, whatever the optometrist. There, in that case, what did he say? Sikhbi Odoin Yatzal Khairis. Here by the Ubishimeya, he's potter. What's the difference between the two cases? Rashi says the difference between the two cases is that by the Uber, he didn't even intend touching the eye. He intended pulling out the limbs, the arms, the legs. He didn't want to get nothing close to the eye. Just like if you have by Shchita, there's something known as misasik. Misasik means, I didn't even get quiet. I didn't even intend touching the eye. In such a case, he's totally potter. It really wasn't even on the radar screen. Mm-hmm. Here you're talking about that the optician put ointment in the eye. He knew he was working with the eye. You got to be careful if you're working with an eye. Chas v'shem, you can blind somebody. So in such a case, the Tanakama, Sichem B'Odni is Yotzelech. So now, how does Reb Shimon Gamliel know this case about the gynecologist that's delivering the baby? Yeah, Zukti Mara, my timer. Please put yourself on mute because we hear some background noise. The Idach, how does the other man, how does he know both halachas? In other words, both the halacha of the Rabbi Roife and the dentist. And the case of the gynecologist, shichas anafka, it could have said v'shichas, and it said v'shichasa. So therefore, you learn both. It's got to be with intent, and it covers both cases that we just bought. The idach shichas shalaych from darish. He says shichas. It's all the same. He doesn't dash. Om Rav Sheshes, harishahuisa enoi semuya v'chotita. What happens if he was blind, but at least he had both eyes in their sockets? And now the Odin gave him such a pash, Nebuchadnezzar fell out of his eye socket, like Moshe Dayan, right? He had the patch over his eye. Heavy Yitzhak Mechayes. Why? My time, Mechusa Ebro. He's not Mechusa Ebro.
Even if it's not functioning, it's
not. Even not functioning. The Torah Tuna, I bring a raya from Karbonis. What's it did by Karbonis? Tamaz Zachar Behemoth, Tamaz Zachar Behemoth. As you know, by Behemoth, it gets a mum, it's disqualified for bringing a carbon. You got to be pointed and bring money and go and buy a new carbon. But not by an oif. Oif has some sort of mum. No problem. I would think that this is such a halacha, Baal Mum is kosher by Oifais, even if Yov Shegapa, one of its wings is totally dried out. Nikta Ragla, one of its feet is amputated. Nechta Te'ena, one of its eyes, Nebuch, was dislocated. Because even though by Oifis there's no din of Baal Mum, but Mechusar Eivor hassled. Therefore, same thing Lagabe Avodim, even though he was previously a Baal Mum, He's Balmu. Now he's a Mechusar Eiver. Finally, what happens if a person, instead of having five fingers coming out of one hand, he has six fingers coming out of it?
He's a Balmu already.
And now the other went and cut it off. Cut it out. That's the Chatcha. He goes out lecheres. However, omravuna push nisperes al gavayad. That's only if it comes out like the other five fingers. Just he has a sixth finger. If the finger, however, comes out from the middle of the palm or from the back, that's gunish. The Gemara doesn't explain what the reason is, but presumably the reason is if it comes out in the same shura together with the other fingers, then it happens to have utility. This person has not only five fingers; he has six fingers. That helps him pick things up.
Especially if he's a pianist.
Yeah, good. However, if it's coming in the middle of the hands from somewhere else, it has no utility whatsoever, so I haven't taken anything away. It was just a baal mum, like you said before. In such a case, he's
like
not...
It's like a haircut.
Like a haircut. So then he's not yoytzu l'chayro.
That's true.
Have a wonderful day, everybody.